Hey, Jim Hoffman here for EMS Office Hours. This upcoming podcast is an oldie but a goodie that I pulled from the archives of the podcast. Really early on stuff, guys, but I think some really good information that I think you're going to enjoy. This one's about maybe 15 minutes, real quick. I hope you can get some use out of it. Be sure to put your comments and your tips about what I talk about below in the notes. And please like us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter, and join us over on Facebook. All right, guys, here it comes, and I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, this is Jim Hoffman from the EMS professional at EMS-safety.com. Sorry about that 1 or 2 minutes of silence there. We had a little bit of a technical issue with the service I used to get on the line here, and hopefully next time I'm planning on getting that all squared away so we don't have any more issues like that in the future. Today's show, I just want to kind of quickly go over the importance of checking out your rig and your ambulance in the beginning of your shift and kind of give you some tips that I use when doing it and kind of tips that I use when going throughout my day and restocking the vehicle and keeping things, you know, pretty much tip-top so that when the oncoming crew relieves me, they, you know, also can check the rig out without worrying about missing major components of, you know, what they need on the ambulance. You know, when I was a supervisor in EMS, I used to have some people would march into the office with, you know, something that was missing on the ambulance or something they found that was kind of out of whack, and it was always some kind of a minor issue. But, you know, everybody has their own little pet peeves, and I mean, my response normally was, well, you know, as part of your job and as part of your responsibilities is to check out the ambulance and make sure you have everything that you need, and, you know, barring any major things missing, such as a life pack or an oxygen tank or something like that, you know, minor things like missing a 4x4 here or there or, you know, something that's a little bit not where it's supposed to be in the bag or in your restock box. You know, those are minor things, and it's your responsibility to check that stuff out and make sure you have what you need and not make it a big issue where you're going to start complaining every time, you know, that is missing or something is not where you would personally like it to be. We all, of course, have our own pet peeves and things that we like to see on the truck and place the way we want to put things, whether it be the way you set up your airway bag and how you want your, you know, and your laryngeal blade to be, and maybe you want to, you know, attach to a Miller blade or attach to a Mac blade so that you're ready to go should you have to intubate somebody. Maybe it's you know, some systems allow you to spike an IV bag. Maybe you like to have it spiked. Maybe you don't spike the IV bag. Depending upon where you work and what your guidelines are, depends upon what you're allowed to do and how you're allowed to rearrange the equipment to satisfy what you want to do when you're checking out your rig. Me personally, my personal pet peeves are things like having a full garbage bag, the vehicle not being fueled up. Those are the type of things that kind of get under my skin when I know that it's, you know, it might not be as busy, where it's no excuse really for there to be a full garbage pail, for there not to be enough fuel. I'm aware that, you know, going throughout your day, you might not be able to restock a 4x4 to restock every IV catheter that you used, or perhaps you didn't put all the non-rebreathers back into the oxygen bag. You know, an empty oxygen tank, you know, that happens. Sometimes you might check out an oxygen bag and the tank might be empty. Does it mean that they used all the oxygen on their last call? Not necessarily. Maybe they did refill the oxygen tank and they didn't put the regulator on tight enough, or it leaked a little bit, you know, over the course of the previous hour before you got there, and that made it, you know, the tank drain down to, you know, empty or close to empty. So, you know, don't always take consideration that the crew you're relieving did something negatively to affect what you're looking at. You know, most of the time, things that are missing or things that are not where you might want it to be are usually not due to the crew you're relieving's oversight or laziness or, you know, lack of attention. Normally it's due to the fact that, you know what, they overlooked it. Can it be improved upon? Sure, and I think that if you find the same type of things missing or the same type of issues missing when it comes to the people you're relieving, then that's something that should be addressed, maybe on a personal level, mentioning to those people, or perhaps going, you know, to kind of addressing it that way, that every time you take over the ambulance, it seems to be this type of equipment missing, or they're not restocking, you know, this section, whether it's, you know, soft things like 4x4s or if it's something more serious like, you know, ALS medications. Now, tips-wise, when I start my shift, I always make sure that I do go through the ambulance, you know, from head to toe and try to, you know, get as much as I can checked 100% and document appropriately what was missing, what I couldn't restock for whatever reason, and to bring it to the appropriate attention of whoever I need to in order to make sure that for the oncoming crew they're aware of it and that they can get it restocked if I wasn't able to during my shift. I try to do as much as I can during the checkout time, because there always is a chance that you might get a call and then you get delayed and you might not be able to get to it, you know, for an hour or so. But I always make sure that I start my day by checking out the vehicle, getting to sure the entire checklist is done, not just going through the motions, physically opening up bags, physically opening up boxes to make sure that everything that is supposed to be in the vehicle is there. Again, going back to what I mentioned, you hate to check a vehicle out and find things missing. So I always try to think about what would happen with people that relieve me are not finding everything they need to find. So knowing that I checked the vehicle out from, you know, head to toe and went through the entire check sheet, you know, verbatim and made sure everything was there, I'm comfortable with the fact that everything is there. Now, can I overlook something? Sure. But the chance of me overlooking it, if I go step by step on the checklist, is going to wind up, you know, minimizing the fact that I could actually miss something that the oncoming crew could need. Some people do things differently. Some people might check the drugs first, or some people might check the oxygen and airway equipment first. Whatever works good for you, in my opinion, is what you should be doing. If you have a system of what you're doing, that's great. You know, start with the airway bag, or you start with your ALS equipment. That's all 100%, you know, perfectly legitimate. You have to do what's going to be good for you, what's going to work for you when checking at the vehicle. But I stress that you should have a system. So if you start doing it a certain way, or you are doing it a certain way, stick to that. Improve on that. If you find that, you know, then the crew comes on and says, hey, you know, I missed, you know, you don't have this XYZ in this bag, kind of improve on the fact that maybe you were missing something. So when next time you're doing it, you can kind of, you know, keep in the back of your head that, hey, I missed this important piece of equipment, or I missed this section during my last checkout. This way, you're doing a system, but you're also leaving yourself open for improvement. You're leaving yourself open to better the whole procedure of checking out the ambulance. You know, don't be the type of people that come into work and before you even check out the ambulance, you know, you always have these people who we have to go get coffee, or we have to go get breakfast, or we have to go get dinner before you even think about checking out the vehicle. Keep in mind what we're here for. We're here to, you know, provide patient care at the best possible levels that we can, and to making sure that you have everything in your vehicle you're supposed to have, and that you're ready to go no matter what comes down over that radio and what kind of call type you get sent on, that you're ready. And you know, checking out the ambulance 100%, whether it goes from the paperwork you're supposed to have to the last 4x4 you're supposed to be carrying to the more advanced medications that you're supposed to have. Make sure you have it all. If you don't, get it in there. If you're unable to restock it or unable to provide it into the bag where you're supposed to have it, make appropriate documentation, notify the appropriate people so that you can get it in there, or if the bare minimum, you document it so that the oncoming people who will relieve you in 8 hours or 12 hours or perhaps 24 hours, those people will be aware of it and not think that you shortchanged them in checking out the ambulance, that you were aware of it as well, and you can pass that information on to them, and then they can make an effort during their shift to possibly correct it for the following crew. So that's it. I'm not going to go on and on about it. We all know that we need to check out the ambulances. Just go ahead and do it. And again, the best thing, in my opinion, just go ahead and, you know, get a system down. Try to improve on the system if you find that for some reason it might not be working 100% for you. And along the same lines, when you're going throughout your day and you're doing calls, try to restock the ambulance as you go. Don't wait to get back to your base or back to your station to restock the ambulance. Try to do it as you go so that this way you're always on top of it, because you never know if it's going to start getting busy and then you wind up not being able to restock for the previous call. And before you know it, you're behind the eight ball, you're going to start missing things, and you know then you're going to have a problem when it comes time for your crew that's going to relieve you. If you do wind up getting calls back to back and you're not able to restock after each call, try to keep a running tab. Get a piece of paper. Keep a running tab of the things that you're using, and this way, at the bare minimum, if you're unable to restock during your shift and you get back late and you're not, you know, the oncoming crew is waiting for you, at least you can give them a list and say, hey, this is what I've used throughout my shift. This is what you need to restock in the truck. I tried to do it. I was unable to, and, you know, maybe you can either help them restock or at least give them the list, depending upon your company policy, if they allow you to do that, you know, of course, on overtime and while your shift is over. If you're able to restock, then by all means, go ahead. But some places want you to punch out when it's time to punch out. They don't want you incurring overtime, of course, doing restock when they're already paying somebody that's there to go ahead and stock and check out the ambulance. So, of course, you know, always follow your local guidelines, your local procedures when it comes to that. But just as a tip, you know, keep a running tab on stuff. If you start getting very busy and you're not able to, you know, restock as you go, keep a running tab so this way you can give it to the oncoming crew and let them know what they're missing. This way there's no confusion when it comes to why it was, you know, certain equipment might not have been there. Well, that's it for me today. There's only about 2 minutes left here today's show. I want to encourage everybody to go check out the new EMS Bootcamp services that we have. These are live webinar sessions that I'm having with Greg Fries from EverydayEMSTips.com. We have some great guest speakers lined up for all October and November and possibly even September. August session, we're going to be talking about EMT training preparation, and it's really geared towards new EMTs coming into EMS, and we're going to kind of go over things like what they need for EMT class, what they should do to prepare, some suggested resources they can use for EMT class, and maybe kind of lessen their anxiety when it comes to, you know, getting into the new EMT programs and getting into EMS as, you know, on the ground floor. So if you know anybody who's teaching an EMT class, or you have peers that maybe are starting out into EMS and they've just been a first responder, or, you know, they're just getting into becoming an EMT level provider, you know, point them over to the EMS Bootcamp and let them go ahead and sign up for this session. It's a great session I think we're going to have. I think it's going to be some really great information we put out, just like the last one we did on exam taking. You can get all this information at emsbootcamp.com. We have a layout of the upcoming sessions, the current session coming up, and also past sessions. One other thing, listen, I give a lot of information out as much as I can during these quick little podcast shows that I do, my newsletter on the EMS Professional site, and also I use things like Facebook and Twitter. If you Twitter, follow me on Twitter. It's twitter.com/EMSSafe, and you can follow me as well on Facebook. Be my Facebook fan, and that's at facebook.com/TheEMSProfessional. I'd love to see you guys on there. Be my fans. Follow me on these social media websites. I always give little tidbits of what I'm doing throughout the day. I find some great information. I try to pass it on throughout the day. Let you know what's going on with the site and things that are happening with some of the services that we're offering. Keep you up to date more in a really up to the minute live type fashion. I think you guys get a lot out of that and really stay in touch with me. I love to connect with everyone who takes advantage of the stuff that I offer, whether it's the free stuff or the paid stuff or you know, the live sessions we do, these podcasts. You know, so feel free to go ahead and jump on those. Join me, be my fan, follow me on Twitter, and, you know, I'll follow you back, of course, and we can, get, you know, stay in touch with each other that way as well. One last thing, I got 30 seconds here. I'm coming down to the line. If you listen to this podcast, if you like it, you hate it, you think I can do something better, do me a favor. Leave a quick comment. Let me know so that I know what I can do better to make these more interesting for you and, you know, better informative in the long run for everyone that comes across these when they're searching the web. Well, that's it for my time. I got about 10 seconds left. And this is Jim Hoffman from the EMS Professional. Until next week, as always, stay safe.